This is Glass City Humanist, a show about humanism, humanist values, by a humanist. Here is your host, Douglas Berger.
Would you believe that one small change in our elections here in Ohio would not only end toxic political campaigns, but would make democracy more accessible and fair for everyone? We talked to Josie Schreiber, Northwest Ohio Regional Organizer with Rank the Vote Ohio, about ranked choice voting and how it can secure an actual majority vote for winning candidates and eliminate voter apathy.
Glass City Humanist is an outreach project of the Secular Humanists of Western Lake Erie, building community through compassion and reason for a better tomorrow.
Our guest today is Josie Schreiber. She is the regional organizer for Northwest Ohio for Rank the Vote Ohio. And after spending 6 years as a freelance writer, Josie moved to the world of politics in 2022, working as an organizer during the midterm election season. And before that career change, she was and still is active in various pro-democracy and human rights organizations. And when she isn't working to organize Northwest Ohio, you can find them exploring coffee shops in the area or out on one of the many Metro Park hiking trails. Thank you for being with us today, Josie.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get to the nitty-gritty. What is Rank the Vote Ohio and what's its mission?
Sure. So we are a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization, and we are working to improve election integrity by promoting ranked choice voting as an alternative to our current system of plurality. So when I refer to Rank the Vote Ohio as we, I do that because we are primarily a volunteer-run organization. Like, we're all of us are on the ground doing the education and things like that. And we operate with the mission to promote greater choice, a stronger voice, and a representative democracy that works for all of Ohioans everywhere. So we're all throughout the state right now.
Okay, and you are the regional organizer for Northwest Ohio. What exactly are your job duties?
Sure. Yeah. So an organizer at their very core is someone who, you know, works to bring groups of people together under a common cause, right? So my job as the regional organizer with Rank the Vote is to go out and educate, you know, Ohioans in our corner of the state about what ranked choice voting is and how it can help make issues like voter apathy and toxic campaign practices and things like that obsolete. So my primary job is to just go out and tell people who we are and what we stand for.
Okay. And you said when we talked before that the Northwest Ohio chapter had just been formed. How's that going so far?
Pretty good. So we just had our second chapter meeting last weekend, I believe. And we kind of just hashed out like a game plan on what we will be doing over the next couple of months. And we do have one meeting per month. That everybody is welcome to come to, even if you're just new to ranked choice voting, trying to learn what it is. We do encourage everybody to come just to kind of learn.
Okay, and what is ranked choice voting?
Sure. So ranked choice voting is a simple way to fix the current problems that we have in our political system. And we do this by utilizing something called instant runoffs, which will ensure that a candidate earns a majority vote in order to win. Because right now, a candidate could win with less than 50% of the vote, depending on the race in the system that we have now. So we do this by requiring voters to rank their choices in order, you know, first, second, third, and so on. And then after that election is done, everybody's first choice votes are counted up. And then if somebody in that race gets more than 50% of the votes, they win the race and it's all done. But if none of the candidates running win more than 50% of the votes in the first round, that's when an instant runoff will be initiated. So in that situation, the candidate with the fewest number of votes is knocked out of the running. And then anybody who voted for that candidate as their first choice, their vote would then just be automatically transferred to their second choice. And then votes are counted again. And then that process just keeps going until somebody gets more than 50% of the vote.
And is this done by hand tabulation, or is this done through the computers, or How is that it accomplished?
I don't have a 100% answer, but I believe would be through the computer system that we currently have. It would just need to be tweaked a little bit to have that specific ballot on there.
And my guess is that that would be more democratic than what we have now.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, at its very core, democracy is supposed to be run by the people for the people, right? So our current system, I just feel like there's so much animosity between the major parties. It sort of kind of makes a mockery of what democracy is supposed to be. And additionally, a majority isn't even currently required in the system that we have. So, you know, right now, if there's three or more people running for one seat for something, that person could potentially win with, you know, 34% of the vote instead of, you know, a majority of 50% plus one.
Yeah.
But.
Go ahead.
So with ranked choice voting, the power is given back to the people by giving voters more of a choice, more of a voice. Sorry, my words are getting all kinds of jumbled. So voters will get more of a voice at the polls. So rather than, you know, being forced to choose one candidate from a list of options like we currently do, you can express your voice by ranking each candidate in your order of preference. And while your first choice may not always win, it's also comforting to know that like someone you maybe also agree with on some level could still potentially win that race and represent you better than what you think another candidate could do.
Yeah, I was just going to point out that Mike DeWine, the current Ohio governor, when he first ran for attorney general years ago, he only won with like 30% of the vote.
Right. I mean, and at our core, we want people's voice to be heard, right? So we are, you know, vehemently for somebody needs to get a majority vote in order to win because that's how we truly represent the people in any area.
There was a city close to us, East Point, Michigan. It's a suburb of Detroit. They enacted ranked choice voting as a voting rights lawsuit settlement. But there's been some complaints in black and brown communities that it doesn't address their needs. Do they have a point?
So, I mean, there's no doubt that our current system is definitely broken. And that's why I personally believe and everybody in our organization believes that ranked choice voting is a sound alternative. But saying that, I also know that there's no doubt that black and brown communities have faced disenfranchisement for literally centuries. So that's like a big, big problem that has all kinds of things that need to be fixed, right? And it's been so, you know, ingrained in like black and brown communities that like their vote doesn't matter. If they try to sit here or try to use their voice, they can't, it won't be successful. Like all of these misconceptions. I mean, it's not even really a misconception because we know that it happens disproportionately in black and brown communities. But so in a way, I do see their point. But when I hear about this, I do like to bring up the fact that ranked choice voting is actually what allowed Toledo's first black city councilman, James B. Simmons Jr., to be elected in the 1930s.
Okay, and other critics of ranked choice voting claim it doesn't address the biggest issues with elections today, low voter turnout and gerrymandering. What would your response be to that?
Yeah, so I mean, to that, honestly, I say on the contrary. So when the power of the voice is given back to the people, wholeheartedly, I believe that low voter turnout will eventually cease to exist because all a person really wants to be is heard. And with ranked choice voting, it's, I feel that's the best way to do that because it allows you to express your preferences without feeling like, oh, I'm going to waste my vote or, oh, I'm only going for the spoiler, so to say. So with ranked choice voting, it really kind of defeats the whole idea of a spoiler. So while you may vote for that third party as your first choice, you're still giving your preference to like the other candidates as well. So it's like, if anything, it's going to make people more in tune to go vote because they're able to express fully what they feel like inside.
Right. They're, you know, most of the people that say they don't vote is they think that their vote doesn't count.
Right.
And ranked choice voting, their vote would count.
Definitely. Yeah. So, and I mean, like if your first choice may not win 100% of the time and that's okay. It's also like I said earlier, it's comforting to know that like you can still have a say in someone who wins that you maybe agree with on like maybe like a lower level, but you still would rather see them win than, you know, another person.
And is ranked choice voting too complicated?
Oh, not at all.
That's been a criticism of it as well, that they
claim it's too complicated. That's one of the biggest things that I hear when I'm out talking to people. I mean, people often think that ranked choice voting is too complicated and new, so to say, to give the time of day. And it's not something that people want to learn about a whole new system, right? But I mean, honestly, the fact is that ranked choice voting isn't a new idea. It's been implemented not only in Toledo and Toledo's history, but in other cities throughout Ohio, it has been implemented. And it's also getting ready to be voted on in University Heights, which is Northeast Ohio, right? Geography is not my strong suit, but yes. So it's actually getting ready to be voted on there at like the city level. So that's pretty cool. Like, we know that it's there and it's more common than we think. And honestly, the fact that it's so common that it has been used before and that it's not this new idea, I feel that it's definitely not complicated at all, because we see it in all these different places and we use it in our everyday life as well. So
yeah, and what I'll do is on the show notes for this episode, mm-hmm. I'll have a link to a video showing an example of ranked choice voting.
Definitely.
So people can get a sense of what it's really like.
For sure, yeah. Videos are always helpful. Like, for me as a person, I feel like visuals are always really helpful when I'm learning something new. So like, the videos that I've watched definitely helped me as like a person who was new to ranked choice voting at some point. It helped to kind of see the process like right in front of my eyes, actually.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, Toledo did have mm-hmm. ranked choice voting from 1935 to 1951.
Yep.
And there were several cities in Ohio that also had ranked choice voting.
Right.
And for many of those cases, the reason why we don't have them anymore is basically racism, because these African Americans and Hispanic people were gaining seats on council and the white people were upset. And
right.
So, and the business people and things like that, because they couldn't control them. And so then they went ahead and got rid of it. But as you pointed out, it is far more democratic and it allows better representation for mm-hmm. all the communities in a city or town.
Yeah. And I know I often, like, when I explain that we've had it before and people will say, well, why don't we have it anymore? We like to describe it as that ranked choice voting became a victim of its own success, because we were seeing more, you know, diversity and representation. We were seeing more representation of the actual people, right, that live in whatever area that they were electing their officials in. And it was so successful that like the big party leaders and local organizations, actually like the KKK, didn't like that minority groups were gaining that representation, and then they fought really hard to get rid of it as a result.
Now, Rank the Vote Ohio is going the Ohio constitutional amendment route.
Mm-hmm.
With the legislature trying to get a proposed change to a 60% passing threshold for amendments, I would assume that your group opposes that change.
Definitely, vehemently so, actually. We're very much like, as we're educating people right now, we're also saying, like, you know, vote no on August 8th, because even in general, like, people don't normally think like, oh, there's an election in August, right? And this is like the only thing that's going to be voted on, right? So it's not something that's on people's radar. So we're just trying to make it very clear that like on August 8th, there is an election and you should vote no, because the process for even getting a citizen-led ballot initiative is already hard. And the fact that they're trying to increase it to 60% instead of what it is now, it not only makes it an already hard process even harder, but it actually takes that power away from the people. And again, that's something that's like the actual opposite of what we are working for. And like, as a pro-democracy organization, we wouldn't ever support something that's actively taking that power away.
Now, has the group received any endorsements for your efforts from other groups in the state?
Yes, definitely. So actually, this past weekend, the League of Women Voters did just vote to officially endorse Rank the Vote Ohio. And we do have other other endorsements that have come through already from, you know, different like third parties, like the Forward Party, the Green Party, different things like that. On our website, we have like a whole list of everybody who has endorsed us so far.
And where in the process currently is the ranked choice voting effort?
Sure. So as of right now, at this time, we're essentially running like an educational campaign. So we're getting out on the ground. We're letting people know who we are, what ranked choice voting is. And we're actively working to increase like our supporter network of volunteers and donors and just supporters in general, so that we can stay on track to launch a ballot initiative in 2024. Our big focus right now is not only on educating people about what ranked choice voting is, but again, to also encourage people to vote no in August, because the outcome of the August election is really going to help us see where we're at in terms of getting a ballot initiative on next year. Because if this ends up passing, fingers crossed, obviously, that it doesn't, it's going to make that process even harder for us. So we've got to it's kind of like a wait and see game, but also going out and still educating people and getting that supporter list up as well.
Yeah, it takes, you know, hundreds of thousands of signatures anyway, and
right,
thousands of dollars to pay people to collect
very
signatures.
Very expensive, and it's very time consuming already, and this would just make it all the more harder to get citizen-led, actual voter-led things on ballots and passed, so that way the voters' voices are actually being heard.
Right, and it's also telling that this proposed amendment doesn't affect amendments proposed by the legislature, only citizen initiated
ones. Only on the citizens, right, exactly.
Okay, if someone listening wants to get involved, either to volunteer or sign a petition, what should they do?
If somebody wants to get involved, the best way to do that is to go over to our Rank the Vote Ohio website, which is rankthevoteohio.org/petition. And there you'll be able to sign the online petition, which will add you to our email list. And that's where you'll be able to learn more about, you know, who we are, what sort of events we have going on. And if you're worried about spam, you don't need to worry, because we only really send out emails when we have big news, like big endorsements that happen, you know, throughout the process, or when we have important events coming up, like our statewide event that we have every month, or chapter specific events, like when we have canvasses or chapter meetings or things like that, is when you'll get an email.
And you said that the chapter meets once a month?
Yes.
What you're planning to?
And we have our plan right now. I don't have my planner in front of me, but I can give you a specific date for sure in an email later. But I want to say, okay, I'm like 90% sure we have July 8th nailed down. It's a Saturday, I believe.
And do you have a location for that already? Or?
Yeah. So it's the Heather Downs Library in South Toledo.
Okay. All right. And is there anything else you would like people to know about Rank the Vote Ohio, or ranked choice voting, that you want to restate or mention that we haven't talked about?
Sure. Yeah. So in regards to when you asked how Ranked the Vote Ohio, ranked choice voting in general is. So in regards to when you asked if ranked choice voting is more democratic than what we have now, I love this question, because my primary reason for getting involved with Rank the Vote Ohio in the first place was, you know, just the volume of voter apathy that I've come across organizing over the last few years. And I like to tell people that I've been pro-democracy since birth, because I can't remember, you know, a single time in my 27 years of existence that I haven't spoken up about something that strikes me as unfair. And it's my hope that by going out and educating Northwest Ohio about RCV, ranked choice voting, and how it can positively affect our area, that voter apathy that I see so much of will eventually no longer exist. And I'd also just like to encourage anyone, honestly, who is even just a little bit curious about ranked choice voting, to just go to our website and kind of look around a little bit to see what we're all about, because we don't care where you land on the political spectrum. If all you care about is fair elections and letting your voice be heard, honestly, you're our people.
Yeah, and that's an important point to make, is it's not a liberal or conservative thing when you want to support fair elections.
Right. Like, all we care about is letting voters' voices be heard, just what democracy is supposed to be. So if you care about that at all, that's honestly, come to us and we'll take you.
Okay, Josie, I really appreciate you stopping by today and talking with us, and good luck in your future endeavors.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. For more information about the topics in this episode, please visit the episode page at glasscityhumanist.show. Glass City Humanist is an outreach of the Secular Humanists of Western Lake Erie. Sholi can be reached at humanistswle.org. Glass City Humanist is hosted, written, and produced by Douglas Berger, and he's solely responsible for the content. Our theme music is Glass City Jam, composed using the Amplify Studio. See you next time!